Minute past 10, so I'll ask if we can all find our seats. I would like to welcome everybody to our Sunday morning period of worship. Before we get into that, I do have a couple of quick announcements, if you bear with me here. We have several guests in the audience as well. I'd like to welcome each of you here. If you do have questions about anything that you see, feel free to talk to one of the members here. We would count you as a friend. If you have concerns about something that we need to correct. We do have a number of members on the sick list today. We want to remember Dottie over at Northwest. Dave Dickerson said that she's having a pacemaker put in tomorrow, so we'll want to remember her in that procedure. We do also have in the back of the room with us this morning Tina, back from her knee surgery. It's good to see her here. At the same time, she does have a good bit of recovery to go still, so we'll want to continue to pray for her. That can go well. I do have several members who are out of town. Andrew and Charlotte are currently in Madison. I think they might be back this afternoon. Courtney is here with us right now. She'll be flying out this afternoon. She will be gone Thursday for business. Keaches, I believe, are in Indianapolis. Chuck and Debbie are, of course, out on the meeting. Wednesday invitation, we think, is going to be handled by Andrew Nevins. We do have a meeting in the area to make mention of. We've got an opportunity to go down to Caneyville, Kentucky this week. They're having their meeting. It starts today. Should be running for the duration of the week. For those who may not know, if you're a guest or otherwise, we met this morning at 9 for a Bible class. 10 o'clock, we're about to get into our period of worship. We'll meet again this afternoon at 4 p.m. You have an opportunity. I encourage you to join us at the meeting here at 4. Also on Wednesday, we'll be meeting at 7 p.m. for a Bible study. If you're in the area at any of those times, we encourage you to come out if you can. As far as the order of worship today, Keith has agreed to word the opening prayer for us. Mark Nevins will be leading the Lord's Supper at the appropriate time. James will be assisting him. Tim is leading our songs this morning. Let's see, he has his selections on the board. 873 is his first one. If you haven't, I would encourage you to turn to that. Tony Barron will be preaching for us this morning in Chuck's absence. We can all look forward to his lesson. Dave Dickerson will be wording the closing prayer at the appropriate time. As far as just a couple of other quick comments, things that need to be brought up, the radio show, as always, will be this afternoon at 2 p.m. Tim and I will be on the air. You can catch that at 1400 a.m. or 98.5 FM. And Mark Nevins also wanted to make mention, he does have three new people who have joined the mailing list. So if you want to take on some or all of those, please get in touch with Mark. Otherwise, he will assign those out amongst the group. So if there's anybody who isn't currently participating in that and would like to help with the bi-weekly mailing of bulletins, you have an opportunity to do so. So I know I just read off quite a bit. If there's anything that I missed or failed to mention, please let me know afterward. I will make mention of it this afternoon. At this time, I will turn things over to Tim.
First song is number 873. We'll sing all four verses. Love, 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 the gospel in a word is love. Love thy neighbor as thy brother. Love, love, love. Peace, 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 peace. The gospel in a word is peace. Peace and understanding, peace, peace, peace. Joy, 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 joy. The gospel in a word is joy. Joy that fills to ever flowing. Joy, joy, joy. Christ, Christ, Christ.
Number 669.
This is my Father's world. Sing all three verses, and at the conclusion of this, we'll be led in our own prayer.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world, I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, His hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world, the birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world, He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear Him pass, He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world, oh let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world, why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King, let heaven ring, God reigns, let earth be glad.
Now we land our opening prayer.
Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, have you in prayer at this time, thanking you so much for this opportunity of being able to assemble here in this building, to assemble as your children, to sing praises unto your name, Father, to worship you, to remember your Son and our Savior's death upon the cross, to glorify you in all that we do, Father. We thank you so much for everything that you have done for us. We realize, Father, that you are our Master, Creator, the ruler of all heaven and earth, Father. We bow before your great presence, Father. Thank you so much for all the blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day, Father. All the great things that we enjoy, all the many blessings we know that they come from you. Thank you so much. Father, we pray, Father, that you will continue to bless us, Father. Thank you so much for your great love that you have for us, your desire to have a relationship with us, Father. Desire that we could come to know you, and that we could serve you, worship you, do everything that you have us do in accordance with your word, Father. Thank you for your Son and his love for us and his willingness to come to this earth, to lower himself to the level of a man, to walk upon this earth, to be tempted in all ways, Father. And we're truly grateful for his great example that he has left for us, his life, the perfect life that he led. Even though he was tempted in all ways, he did not sin. He always put you first and followed your will, Father. We pray that we'll always strive to follow his example, to live like he lived, to walk like he walked, Father. I'm so truly thankful for his willingness to submit to your plan, plan that was established before the foundation of the world, a plan that would ultimately offer him up as the perfect sacrifice for all mankind, Father. Sacrifice that he freely gave upon the cross, his body, his life. We know that without that great sacrifice, Father, that We would be lost in sin and we would have no hope one day being with your heavenly Father. We're so truly grateful for that great sacrifice that was made on our behalf. Father, we pray that you will be with us at the church that meets here in Newburgh. We pray that you will help us to always stand for truth, always put you first, always submit to your will, Father. We pray that we will always be a pillar of truth in this community. We pray that you will help us to reach out to those in the community around us. Pray that you will help us to teach those around us, to be examples to those, everyone that we may come in contact with, Father. Pray that you give us opportunities to spread your gospel, Father. We know that there are many out there looking for you, and pray that you will help them find us, and pray that you will help us to be able to teach them and to proclaim the gospel unto them. Pray that you will help us to find lost souls searching for you in this area, Father. Pray that you be with our elders, Chuck and Tim, as they strive to lead this organization, this church, Father. We pray that you will help them to always do your will, to always put you first, to make the decisions that will help glorify your name in this area, Father. Pray that you help us in our efforts to establish a permanent meeting place, Father. Thank you for all the great things you've done for us up to this point. We pray that you will continue to be with us in those efforts. We pray that the right decisions will be made and that we will soon be able to meet in that place, Father, to be able to have a permanent place to meet, to be able to proclaim the gospel, Father. We pray, Father, that you be with our number here this morning who are away from us or traveling. We pray that you will watch over them as they are away from us. Help them to return safely to us, Father, and those that who will be traveling this upcoming week, we pray that you watch over them as well. We pray, Father, that you be with Chuck and Debbie as they are away conducting a meeting in another area. We pray that you will help them, help Chuck as he is proclaiming your word. We pray that much good will come from those efforts, Father. We pray, Father, that you be with our number who are dealing with illness, recovering from recent surgery. We're so thankful to see Tina out with us this morning, Father, and pray that you would continue to bless her in her recovery, and that she may soon be back in her normal health, Father. Pray, Father, that you be with others who are dealing with sickness and illness, pain, Father. We pray that you will help them, comfort them as only you can. Pray that you be with those at Northwest who are dealing with sickness and illness, and those who are upcoming procedures, and pray that you will watch over them and all will come together for good for them, Father. Pray, Father, for each of us here this morning, and pray that you will bless us, help us to always serve you, Father, to put you first, to be students of your word, to study your word, to meditate upon it, apply it to our lives, so that we can serve you in the way that you have directed us to serve you, and pray that everything that we do in our lives will be to your glory, Father. And we pray, Father, that when we do fall short, Father, we give into temptation, we sin, Father, we pray that we will ask for forgiveness, repent of those sins, and pray that you will forgive us. Pray, Father, that you go with us now as we go through this worship service. Help us to put you first in our thoughts and our minds. Help us to focus upon the words, the song as we sing them. Help us to, in a moment as we observe the Lord's Supper, help us to focus on the death of our Savior, your Son, Jesus, and help us to take it in a way that's pleasing, Father, and we pray that you will go with us for the rest of this service. In your Son's name we pray.
Amen. Under Psalm number 511. Keith just mentioned his prayer. We're about to observe the Lord's Supper, the memorial of Jesus' death, and we'll sing this Psalm 511 to help us focus our thoughts and our minds on that memorial. All three verses, 511.
Oft we come together, oft we sing and pray. Help us, O Lord, by thy
Lord's Supper's been prepared this morning. I'd like to read a couple of passages that typically don't get read in the Lord's Supper, and yet I think once we understand the passages that you can reflect upon that. First one is in John chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. This is a chapter that Nicodemus comes and sees Jesus at night and talk about the new birth and second birth. And in verse 14, it says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him have eternal life. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Verse 14 is what I'm concentrating on, because it was the event in the wilderness of the children of Israel when they sinned that Moses had to put a bronze serpent up, and whoever looked upon it was saved. So Jesus here is validating that event back in Moses. But yet he's also forewarning those there, in particular Nicodemus, of his death that is pending. So if we look upon Jesus upon that cross, that we would be saved if we are obedient to that. Therefore, that night before his death, he implemented his Lord's Supper, the emblems of the bread and the wine, for remembrance at that point on of his death upon the cross. And this morning, I pray that we have our minds so centered upon that important event of the cross and his death as we partake of this Lord's Supper. Father in heaven, as we come and approach thy throne room this morning, Father, we are deep and grateful people for your plan of salvation, Father, that from the outset of the world, when things were created and told everything was very good, that the fall of man had been sinful in that chapter 3 of Genesis, that you had a plan that required your Son's sacrifice, and we're grateful, thankful for Jesus to come as we pray this morning, that he gave himself up out of heaven to do your will, Father, to conform this earth, to bear the sins upon that cross. As we just read, that we pray that we take that event not for granted, that his willingness to suffer that terrible cross for the world. We pray, Father, that as we partake of this bread that represents his body, that we remember that, and that we proclaim that and to glorify thee. In Christ's most holy name, amen. pray. Father, as we come before you again, that we're grateful for this, for the wine that represents Jesus' blood upon that cross, and we know it required his blood to redeem us from sins. We pray, Father, that we look upon that vent, that we look upon this cup, and ask that you bless it. We, in Jesus' most holy name, amen. This concludes the Lord's Supper as another act of worship we are to lay by in store. That we're to prosper. If we are a Christian identified with the work here at River Ridge, or in the New Testament, we're required to do that. If you're visitors, you're not under any obligation as far as that goes. So we will do that this time. If you would, please bow with me. Father in heaven, we're so grateful for the blessings of this life, knowing the spiritual blessings, Father, but those of the physical realm of life itself, those abilities that you have given each one of us to be in this life and to maintain. And we pray, Father, that we are good stewards upon those physical blessings, that we can give back a portion to that. Not that you deserve it, but to have, under the directions of this eldership, to have these monies dispersed in such a way that we can spread thy gospel to all that we come in contact with by whatever means. We be grateful, Father, for that. And we ask your continual blessings on us in Christ's most holy name. Amen. Amen.
Song Before Tony Breaks is the lesson this morning will be number 297. I Want to Be a Worker. Sing all three verses, 297, and then Tony brings the lessons.
I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to love and trust His holy word. I want to sing and pray and be busy every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker every day. I want to lead the erring in the way that leads to heaven above, where all is peace and love in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker strong and brave. I want to trust in Jesus' power to save. All who will truly come shall find a happy home in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord.
Mark Psalm number 263 is the invitation. 263.
Good morning. If you would, take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. We'll be starting there here in just a moment. I did some looking around and some research trying to figure out, and I knew what I wanted to speak on, but I thought I would start it this way. The Bible every year in and year out, is the number one selling book in the United States. Every year, the Bible. And it's calculating how many are sold, and I find it hard to believe, but they're saying they really can't tell how many are actually sold. You know, and I find that. However, in 2005, it was estimated that some 25 million Bibles were sold in the United States. That's a lot of Bibles. For you kids, just imagine Harry Potter. You know who Harry Potter is. You know, that the Bible sold more than Harry Potter books. So that's an annual amount of more than a half a billion dollars in Bibles sold in this country. 91% of all households have a Bible. One Bible. The average household owns four Bibles. So, TJ, you ask a question, and we all do. It says, how can people read certain passages and not see the correct way in what the Bible says? You know, I guess the question is this, is how can we read it and not see it? You know, how can they read it and not see it? And yet we read it and we do see it. This morning, all over the United States, there are millions of people, 25 million Bibles are sold, and millions of people are going to places where they worship. And out of these millions of people, how many actually took their Bible with them? I recently talked to a person, and they were hunting for a preacher, and they had found one that they had liked. And after he spoke, they really liked him. He was doing a great job. And he said, we would really have loved to have had him, but he didn't have an education. He'd never been to a Bible school or to a place where they taught him the Bible, so we couldn't have him. And I told him, I said, well, let me ask you this. What if the apostles were there and they didn't have this education? And you know who the apostles are? And he said, yeah, I know who the apostles are. I'm like, what would you tell them? I'm sorry, but you don't have that education and we can't have you. So with that said, I'm not an educated person. And I know a lot of the younger people don't know who this is, but I'm just a step above Jethro. So I have a little bit higher than a fourth grade education, and I can cipher and decipher and all that good stuff. But I'm here to speak and to teach you a little bit about the Bible. And maybe I can maybe shed just a little bit of light of why people can't see what they see when they read the Bible. So where I work at, we have a year-long training program. And once you're hired in, you basically, for several weeks, you're not really allowed to touch anything. You know, you're there to observe and to learn. And you're there, you have a manual. You'll go through this manual, and you're going to learn all the laws and regulations and what this button does and this button does, and how to talk to this folk and how to not talk to this folk. And give you a little background, I work at the Lock and Dam, in case you didn't know. So, we have a pretty good, important, and great job. But when it comes to God's Word, we don't have and are guaranteed that training program. You can go out and buy and be one of those 25 million Bibles that are sold. But yet, there you can open that thing up and just start reading it. And we as man, we can pretty much take this, and we can twist it, turn it, flip it, and do all this stuff. And we can make it say just about anything we want it to say. You know, we can make it work for what you want it to, for what you want it to be. And then this morning in class, you know, Mark went through a lot of scriptures talking about the importance of God's Word and how important it is to each and every one of us. But out of all those stats, there was a group in Texas, and this is for the modern people, which I'm not. They started an app where you could buy the Bible on the phone. And they expected, and I believe it was 2004 when they done this, and they were estimating, and we're going to be happy with, 70 to 80,000 apps purchased on this Bible on for your phone or your iPad or whatever, how that works. They had sold, it was over millions and millions of apps of the Bible. Within 3 days, they had sold over 80,000. And they were just going to be happy with the 80,000, you know, total. So the Word of God is a very powerful and wonderful thing. And the majority of the people in this country, they know that. They know that. So we as Christians, here at River Ridge Church of Christ, we have that opportunity. In Matthew chapter 28, starting verse 18, it says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go there, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Mark 16, turn over there real quick. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And this is why the Great Commission, where, you know, Jesus sent the disciples out to preach and teach. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it says, Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, evil, envy, and evil speaking, As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that, the Lord is gracious. I remember when I first obeyed the gospel, and me and Trey were still in the Marines, and we were in Hawaii. I'd gotten out and came back from California, and she had started attending services with them. She said, now I'm going to church this morning. You're welcome to go. If you don't, that's your choice. I'm like, sure, I'll be glad to go. So after a period of time, I obeyed the gospel. And then we started studying. And I was a babe in Christ then. So the first book we started studying, and don't do this. you probably need to start at the beginning and go backwards. But me and my Jethro education, we started off in Revelation. That didn't work very well. But the point is this. The people in the world and the people in this country, we have an opportunity to shine our light on them and to show them by our example. And they are babes in Christ, or yet they're just learning the word. And we had that chance and that opportunity to show them things that yet they wouldn't know. I can remember, and you can see it. There are people that don't know the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. They don't know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They couldn't find it in the Bible until they looked at the index and see it was on page 617. If that's what page number it is, or 1067, that's where 1 Peter starts. They need our help. And that's where it's vital that we, as Christians, show our light to people that have just obeyed or that are willing to learn the gospel. That's how we can start. It is an intimidating thing to not know something. And a lot of people, they don't want to be shown, that they don't know anything or that they don't know how to use it. And yet 91% of all households have the Bible. I'm going to say 30% may take it to them with them Sunday morning to worship service wherever they attend. They don't use it. They want someone to speak in front of them that has that college education. Someone that's been to a Bible college and has learned all the great and wonderful things that man wants to teach them. But yet all they have to do is use the Bible. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with an education. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is man can take this and twist it and teach it, and yet people are intimidated and they feel like that man with the education is going to be honest with them and tell them the truth. And that isn't necessarily the case. Turn to John chapter 12, starting in verse 42. It says, nevertheless, among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. Since I have come as a light into the world, and whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last days. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me and gave me a command. What should I say and what should I speak? And know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. In verse 44, it says, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. In verse 42, it says, the Pharisees, that they did not confess him, as they should be put out of the synagogue. We as people are no different than the Pharisees. We see what the Word says, but yet we refuse to do what the Word, because we're afraid of what, you know, our friends, our family, and those people would say. You know, I'm not talking about being put out of the synagogue, but yet you're going to be ridiculed for being a Christian and standing up for the truth. Verse 48, 49 says, when we reject the Word, you know, we're rejecting God. See, and yet, when our life and time on this earth is over, and we stand here and we can look at and we can read all of these Bibles that everyone has, and they can read them and look upon them, and yet, in the end, when our time is over, that is what we're going to be judged on. Whether we spend eternal life in heaven, or whether we spend eternal life in hell, this is what we're going to be judged on. So when we twist and turn this thing around, and yet they do not see what it says, and we reject it, in the end, that's going to be what we are going to be ruled upon. If I've heard comments before that Tony, he goes to church, and they read the Bible, but the Bible they have, I don't know where they get it, because it's not what I read. It's not what I see. And then a lot of people will say this, and I know we've all heard this, but that's just your interpretation of it. That's just how you see it. You know, that's not how I see it. But yet, it's so common that yet we read it and we say, how can you not see that? How can you not see that? And the reason you don't is because you reject it, because you're afraid of being set apart from everyone else, and you don't want to be. You want to be with everyone else. In Acts chapter 17, starting verse 22 through 27, says, then Paul stood in the midst of Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one you're worshiping, worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. We are no different than this today. You know, we are a very, very religious. Just imagine, think of the Bibles that are sown year after year after year. We are a religious people. But a lot of times it's not to the right God. It's to the God that we want to be with. The God that's going to allow us to do what we want us to do, and to do things that is not according to his word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verses 4 through 6 said, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor as a cloak for covetousness, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, but either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. And even then, no different than today, people were after pleasing men instead of themselves. It goes back to the gentleman that also, you know, that said, we would love to have had him, but he didn't meet our standards. It didn't matter if he was meeting God's standards or not. He had to meet man's. So, with all that said, I remember several years ago, and it's been more than several, it's been many years ago, that I was sort of shocked to understand it and realize it, but yet
it's not a surprise.
We as people at the Church of Christ, I guess you could say we had a reputation. Our people would know us by one reason and one thing only, and that was we know our Bible. We know our Bible. And if you sit back there in the classroom and you sort of listen, and as, say, Martin Evans or Chuck or whoever's giving the classes, it really is refreshing to hear people say, you know, well, in this verse here, go here, this is what it says. Go to this chapter, this verse, and this is what it says. You know, we do know our Bible. And so me and Trey went on a cross-country trip, and there's a gentleman we know that had a real bad problem with his marriage. And we, once we were out there and heard all the gossip and the rumors that was going on, him and his wife decided that, well, we're just going to go ahead and end our marriage. It's really, you know. And the great thing about it, all this stuff was all over Facebook. It's not a secret. You know, you could have asked anybody that knew this family, and they could tell you what was going on. It was all over Facebook. So Trey contacted him and texted him, said, what in the world's going on? And he said, well, this had happened, this has happened, this had happened. And I said a lot of things that I shouldn't have said. She said a lot of things she shouldn't have said. And we just think it's best if we go ahead and get divorced. I really don't want it, and I've tried to talk to her, but she's pretty dead set on this. So a few days go by, and we talk to him. Trey talks to him again. By this time, we're headed back to Montana, and we're somewhere in Wyoming. And he said, well, he said, I've talked to her, and she really doesn't want the divorce. And I really don't want the divorce, but my family is dead set on it. My mom and dad and all them, and her mom and dad and all them, they're all for it as well. And so me and Trey are talking while she's texting. She said, well, did she commit adultery? And he said, no. She said, well, did you? And he said, no. She said, well, you need to turn to the Bible and turn to Matthew, and you need to look at this, because neither one of you have authority to divorce each other. And that's just the way it is. That's what the Bible says. That's not what Trey says, and this is not what Tony says. Yeah, but it's really going to be hard, you know, to get past our parents. Well, you need to understand this as well. We'll call him Bob. Bob, that this is between you and your wife. This is not between your mom and dad and you and her, or her mom and dad and her and you. It has nothing to do with this. This is between you and her and what God says about marriage and divorce. So the best thing for you to do is call your wife and sit down and talk to her and try to get this worked out. And everybody else is just going to have to accept the way things are and wait for what God says about it. So a few minutes goes by and he texts me back and says, you know what? You're the only person that said this to me. And you're the only one that has encouraged us to stay together. And out of everyone we talk to, you're the only one that has brought up the Bible to us. He said, and I really appreciate it. So we come home and a few days goes by, and they're back together. And it's all over Facebook. And there was, let's say, 50 likes. Everybody likes that. You know, everybody's tickled to death with it. And everybody's, all these great comments, you know. But it all boiled down to one thing. You know, they had someone show them what God says about marriage and divorce. And that's what it takes. Because people in the world, they don't know. They really and truly don't know. And so we have to be that shining light. Turn to 2 Timothy. Chapter 2, verse 15. We already covered that this morning in class. But it says, be diligent to present yourselves, approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In Acts chapter 17, starting verse 10, it says, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Those were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. We have to be that light. We have to be the ones that show the people, you know. We don't need to have an education to preach and teach those people the word. We don't need that. It's easy. We just need to show people. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, if you would, please. Verse 13 through 16. It says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out of it and trampled under foot by men. It says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket and put a lampstand and it gives light to all are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We are that light, and we have that opportunity. We need to understand if we can't show people in our daily conduct, in our way we live our daily lives, that light, that hope that is within us, that how are we going to teach them? They should come to us and ask us, you know, how is it? And then we need to give them that Bible answer. And we need to be able to show them how to use that Bible. Say, you know, this word here, did you know there's a concordance in the back of your Bible where you can use that word and find it? You know, do you know how to use that app on your phone? Because if you ever, I would say, but no, I don't really want to know how to use it. I don't know like the Bible. But I don't, my phone doesn't do all that fancy stuff. But it's there. And we need to show people how to use it. And it is important that if we show these people how to use it, search the scriptures daily, how more knowledgeable will we become and how helpful we will be of these people. So if you would, turn to 1 Peter, second to last verse, and then we'll be done. 1 Peter 3, 13 through 17. Says, and who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, when they defame you as evildoers, that you revile your good conduct in Christ, may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. That's our hope. We have to give that hope to people and let them know that, you know, it's fear of God. That's why we live what we do. If we don't have that fear of God, we know what eternal life will be like. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. People are out there they have their Bibles. Imagine 25 million Bibles sold, the number one book sold in the world, the United States, every year, year after year after year. Every household, the average has four, 91% of all households have one. That's a lot of Bibles. It's a lot of Bibles. I can remember, you know, starting out. Don't start in resolutions, whatever you do. But show them how to use the Bible. It's just like, let's say I want to grow strawberries. I know who I'm going to see. I'm not going to just go out there and start planting strawberries. I'm going to go see Warren. Might have him come over and help me plant a few. You know, that's the way things are. Go and know something about Toyota cars or vans or whatever it is Keith does out there. I'm going to see Keith. You know, if you want to know something about a locking down, come and see me. If you want somebody to be a Christian, they should be able to see each and every one of us here. And we should show them how to use this Bible. Show them the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. You know, show them where Matthew starts and Revelation ends. You know, show them the importance of being a Christian. Show them the importance of fearing God and putting Him first. And let people know that, you know, just because everybody in the world is telling you it's okay to get a divorce, maybe it really isn't. You know, we have to be that light. We have to be that light. So the next time you run into someone and ask you a Bible question, just ask them. Say, I know you've got one at home. Have you ever used it? Because I would love to show you how to open that thing up and start using it. It is a great tool. Just imagine getting your brand new vehicle and not having an owner's manual in it. You know, those things are nice to know, especially when those lights start flashing, what that light means. You know, have a low tire, you know that's a low tire light. So we have that opportunity, and we really need to take advantage of it. Yeah, we have our radio program, our TV program, the bulletins, and all these things are great. But yeah. We are really the major tool for God. This lesson hasn't been about how to become a Christian, you know, but hopefully it'll be let you see the importance of being a Christian and teaching adults. If you have not obeyed the gospel, this is your opportunity to come forward. Yet if you've fallen away and need prayers of the congregation, it's also a good opportunity to do that. But if you would, while we stand and sing.
Find here thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee. For cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. Washing cleanse me in thy blood.
educated, but we do have to be educated on the scriptures. And I think that's, this is the main point. We need to open our Bibles and read it and understand what it says to us and do what it says. So we'd like to thank all of our visitors who are here today. We thank you for having spiritual thoughts on your minds today, and we thank you for coming out and worshiping with us. We'll meet again at 4 o'clock this afternoon if you have the opportunity to come back and worship with us. So now we'll be led in a closing word of prayer.
Our dear and most loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege of coming together this Lord's Day to remember our Lord and Savior Jesus, who loved us so much he was willing to come upon this earth and to make that great sacrifice in our behalf. We're so thankful for his love for us, dear Father, that he's willing to do that. And we're so thankful for his great example, too, that in the perfect life that he led, with all the temptations that came his way, yet he remained faithful and obedient unto you until the very end. We want to pattern our lives after his life, dear Father. And we want to remain steadfast, immovable, and always abounding in your good work. We pray, dear Father, that we might walk worthy and do all pleasing as we try and do our best for you each and every day. As we reach out into those that are lost, dear Father, the fields are white into the harvest. There is so much work that needs to be done. We pray that we will never grow weary in well-doing. To help lead those that are lost to you. Pray, dear Father, that we will be thankful for the tools that we have to use to reach out to those that are lost through a TV program, through a radio program, and through our Bible correspondence courses. We pray, dear Father, that we will come in contact with those that are seeking the truth, that are wanting to know about you, that we can proclaim your word to them, dear Father, and show them the good news of Christ. We pray, dear Father, for those that are traveling, that they might have a safe destination to where they're going and might be able to be with next appointed time. We pray for Sister Dottie, dear Father, that doctors will have she'll be able to have a safe and full recovery from her surgery. We're thankful, dear Father, for all that you do for us each and every day. We pray that we might remain faithful until the very end. And forgive us when we have sinned and fallen short. In Jesus' dear name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'm sorry.